What's up, guys?
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor.
Guys, how we doing?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Coach, doing good.
All right, everybody. If you can do me a favor, we're going to try to use the hand-raising function. Y'all are familiar with that. And we'll kind of roll through them that way. So we'll let John Werner get us started here.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Just your general impressions of the first practice. Were the guys excited to be there? Were they in the shape you'd hope they'd been in?
They were. Yeah, I'd say yes to both of those questions. I think the excitement has been pretty strong. You know, especially coming from Charlie Brewer, Terrell Bernard have really been really vocal about wanting to get back and have everyone together. And so it's been a long time coming for those two. I feel happy for them. You know, the effort all throughout practice was really strong. I thought the great attention to detail. You know, this is for me kind of walking around and spending time at each position group. I mean, you're seeing everyone ears wide open, eyes wide open, taking everything in. It's just very impressive to see. And then you've got veterans that are coaching up some of the younger guys as well. A rookie may have a question and it's getting answered, it's getting explained, not only the how, but the why. And so it reminds me of Wisconsin when I was there. And so it's impressive to see. I thought the grind is certainly there. And so you can kind of see it looming in the foreground here, and we're going to attack that part of it. And it's one of the things you love about camp is the always being on and kind of grinding through it. And so I know that with the leadership we have, that'll end up being a real positive for us.
We'll go to Curtis Quillen next.
Coach, you lose quite a bit on the defensive side of the ball from last year's team. Who are you looking at to fill some roles by guys who are now playing on Sundays?
Well, I think, at the Jack position, which is a new position for us, William Bradley King is one. I think, we've got Matt Jones is in and out, inside backer and outside backer. I think he brings some good flexibility. I think Jalen Petrie at the star position, along with McVay at the star position, bring a lot of blitzing ability as well as coverage ability. I think the linebacker position, as it's kind of coming together, if you include the star, which is really a nickel, I think is really going to be a strong unit. And you got Terrell Bernard. Terrell, he's seeing everything before it happens and is communicating what's about to happen prior, and is really ahead of it all right now. So he's impressive to witness. And he wants more. He talked about trying to come up and get some more time. And so I'm excited about where that's going to go. But I think that linebacker group, and then Dylan Doyles would be another one. Dylan instincts, football IQ, there's a toughness about him. Really like the linebacker group. I think the secondary group has got really good length and really good speed. I think there's an ability to play man coverage there. And, it's going to be a good test versus our offense. I think, Charlie's starting to kind of feel it. With RJ and Ty on the outside, they can make those one-on-one catches. And so we're combative there. But I really like our length and our speed. And, I feel like there's some rawness there, but just a lot of ability. You know, I think we need to make some strides is up front on the D-line. I think we've got all the ability in the world to do that. It's just that's where it's we really have to be able to invest and be real particular about what we want to put our time into and who we want to be, because there is some there are some really, really good players, but are just don't have the experience that you would normally have.
Jerry Hill.
Coach, you had the 2 weeks, I guess, of OTAs. Was there a difference today, though? And then how soon do you go to contact stuff? That was one of the things you mentioned on the podcast, is you really need to get to that point where you're blocking and tackling, those kind of things.
Yeah. So that would come at the end of, this next week. But I think those first 2 weeks were really good because, they had had maybe 6 installs prior to those 2 weeks of OTAs. But, it's crazy because, there's coaches like this too, but on, I don't know, maybe 4 of those 6 installs, guys are wearing like pajama pants and, maybe there's no shoes on, whatever else. And so I think when it's like that, there's not a real application of that knowledge, even though, there can be an understanding of it. It's not really being applied. And in a way, it's really not kind of not really sticking. And so I think those OTAs were a way to apply some of what they've been taught. And now, I was talking with Matt Wells the other day, and he was going, "Dave, I like this better. I like the OTAs better than spring ball, because it leads up, it leads right up to it." And there is some evidence of what he was talking about today, because guys were making checks, guys were. The offense would check and the defense would see it and they would check the check. And so typically you never get that on the first day of a new staff, first day of fall camp. And so there's a lot of positive things there. I think one of the differences also from the OTAs is just it's all day long, and so guys are showering, they're going to grab something to eat here, and then we got meetings tonight. And so there's 3 hours of in-person meetings a day, that they're going to be with their position coach, where in the past it was, an hour a week. And so very big difference.
Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
Go, Paul Catalina.
Yeah, Coach, how much is there a learning curve in that you mentioned the OTAs, but just in how you run meetings and how you do things in person, how you run your periods that you didn't get to have because you didn't have spring ball?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And I think there's a lot of coaches walking through. And so the practice we had today, we walked through that twice before. And I think I personally, along with the managers, did another time. So, 3 times prior, we walked through today's practice, and meeting times. We walked through the meetings and the transitions, and just you have to think about every little thing. There's the team meeting, the special teams meetings, the DBs, because they're our largest groups. They meet in the we all meet in the indoor. So the indoor is it's a practice facility, but it's also a meeting room. And so I'll have my team meeting in there, and then Coach Powell will have his special teams meeting in there. And then the safeties and the corners will have their DB meeting in there. And then that's broken down. And then we use that as a practice field. And so that's real different. And then you have to allow for some transition time. If we have a team meeting and that meeting ends and we transition to position meetings, let's say, guys are having just to walk across to get to Simpson to get into the meeting rooms. But I think, so that there's stuff like that that is pretty I don't want to say obvious, but pretty substantial that's right there. But it's the things where it's, hey, we've been on Zoom all this time, maybe there hasn't had to been eye contact for a 40-minute meeting. Maybe there hasn't had to been kind of guys sitting straight up in the chair. Maybe there hasn't had to been the note taking that we're asking now. There's a sense of urgency now. There's some, hey, we're talking to you about this right now, and 30 minutes from now you're going to be doing it on the field, and we want to see it performed to the best of your ability. And so that type of instant feedback was not something that was around in the Zoom days. And so those things are different.
Kevin Lundquist.
Dave, have you all gotten any indication of any players who might be considering opting out? We've seen it a couple places where players have talked about that, like Micah Parsons at Penn State and Rashad Bateman at Minnesota. Anything from this team that you all are looking at right now or anticipating or not anticipating?
Nothing to this point. And, we've tried to be very transparent and very have encouraged our players to reach out to us with any form of concern or questions or really anything at all. I think that's so important, and there's some of them that have, and I appreciate that. I have to imagine that there's probably some more that have questions or maybe have a concern. And I'm continuing to work to get to that point to where they all are comfortable enough to bring it up. I think that's something that we're continually working for. We've had, I want to say, 3 or 4 parent meetings. We just had one earlier this week. Was the latest. And so our parents of our players and our health and wellness team, along with myself, will get some questions. I usually will make a statement in terms of the kind of an update, and then we'll kind of roll through those questions, whether it's with food or whether it's with just COVID-19 and how we're keeping everybody safe. And so just so proud of our team here, Matt Keel in athletic training, and Corey Campbell in strength and conditioning, Julian Buzzard in nutrition. They're a real tight group that work really well together. They've got great hearts. I appreciate them. But I think, I think part of it is getting to the point to where the kids know that, hey, man, they're seen, they're heard, they're valued, and they can be themselves and ask the questions that they need to ask. And I think that's a big piece of it, and we're trying to get that across.
Thank you.
We'll go Q, and then we got time for two more after that. Jack and Mandy are in the queue.
Hey, Coach, what did you feel like the retention level was from the early installs that you had to the point of shutting down to the Zoom meetings, the OTAs, to what you were able to see on the grass today?
No, good. I thought it was good. Yeah, I mean, I think there wasn't a lot of buzz. There wasn't a lot of, I didn't know. I wish it wasn't like this. It would have been something for y'all to see. I think you guys seen it, you would think this doesn't look like a first day, and in a lot of ways there's a bit of a continuation. I know we just had this the question earlier. In some ways, with some of the team part, it's just a continuation of the OTAs that we just finished, but in terms of the communication, in terms of the ownership. And so, guys can say stuff, but it's different when they own what they say. Their body language, their demeanor, there's just a difference. And And so there's guys out there owning it. So we feel good about where it is for day one.
So Jack Allen next.
Coach, taking over as a head coach, what's been the biggest difference trying to get started with practice compared to maybe what you experienced as an assistant?
Yeah, so the standards, the expectations, I think from anything from you know, looking at how much time guys are on their feet, are guys eating, are they hydrating? You know, I think as an assistant, we would walk by a station where there's water set up and Gatorade, and you might say something to your group, hey, get some water. And now it's like, you know, you know, I'm the guy that's stopping them, making them come back and get the water to drink. And so it's things like that are different. And it's, you know, it's great to work with a group like our kids here, because they take to it. They're used to it. They're used to, you know, having everything matter. They're used to having really, really high expectations. And they're used to having relationships with their coach. So, you know, I embrace it.
All right, Mandy, finish us up.
Hey, Coach. Obviously, you know, being a defensive-oriented mind person, now that you've been able to have some time with Charlie, you know, what can he take out of you? You know, I guess, what can you share with him to help him reach his full potential? And kind of tied with the question of, you know, where do you see that process and how much hands-on do you tell him, hey, maybe, you know, try this or try that, just because, I mean, you know, being a defensive-oriented guy and everything.
There's some of that. I think a lot of that right now is worked through Coach Fedora. Coach does a great job with the quarterbacks, and you know, I think Coach has got a really good instinct and anticipation, and you know, move, counter move awareness. Larry's got a really good knack for that. And so, but then, you know, there's things that I've shared when I've been in there of like, hey, when we saw this formation, we were thinking this, or I know when talking to most folks, they think this too. You know, if we're sitting on the fastball, a curveball here would really be good. Or, you know, hey, when we see this play, and if you arc block it, it doesn't really do anything to change our math. But if you were to down block and cut the defense, then our math's affected, and now we're minus a guy at the point of attack. And so there's things like that that I think filter through. And then on the field with Charlie, it's, you know, once his reps are done and he's off to the side, you know, if there's a play where I knew what the defense was thinking, I can go up and I'll talk to him about why what just happened defensively, because hey, they're thinking this because of the last time we were in that formation, you guys did this, so now they're overplaying it, and you're gonna know they're overplaying it by the tilt of the safeties, and that's the reason why we have our cadences. So there's things like that, and it's enjoyable to do that. Charlie's such a great competitor. The fire burns bright inside of him, so it's good to have him on our side.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you, guys.